Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today we are continuing to air a teaching that I did in Phoenix, Arizona, and we are actually airing the live Gospel Truth seminar here on our Gospel Truth broadcast. And I tell you, this is a powerful teaching. When I taught this back in January 2012, I remember that people were just being transformed. This is something that I think is a problem among most people, is that we just think too small. We limit God. And so I've already aired the three teachings from our Thursday night teaching. Now we start into the Friday morning, and what I'm beginning to do is to talk about Jeremiah 29:11, that God has plans for us which are good, that God wants to do more in our lives than what any of us have allowed Him to do. And I tell you, this is something that has just changed my life, and it has the potential of changing yours. Sometimes you get caught up in just trying to survive the everyday things, and we forget about our future. But you need to recognize that God has a great plan for your life, and we have to seek Him. If you don't pursue it, you won't get it. And so this teaching is coming from that Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. And if you'll open up your heart and allow it, this will challenge you to start taking the limits off God and believe for something bigger. And I can promise you, if you do that, you will have miraculous results as I have. So we're going to go back into this live teaching. I encourage you to open up your heart and let the Lord speak to you as I talk about Don't Limit God times 10. For those of you that were not here last night, I started talking about taking the limits off God 10 years after, or times 10. In other words, 10 years ago, January the 31st, 2002, the Lord spoke to me through Psalm 78:41 and said I had limited Him by my small thinking. And that scripture says that in their heart they turned back and they limited the Holy One of Israel. And I spent quite a bit of time last night. Most people have kind of a fatalistic theology that things just happen and it's fatalistic and there's nothing you can do about it. And that is absolutely untrue. God has a perfect plan for every person's life in here. You know, a scripture that has become pretty popular in the last few years is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, where he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I think the NIV says a hope and a future. And God has good thoughts for you. His plans for your life are awesome. He never made a piece of junk. He never made a dud. He never made an average person. Every one of us have something special that God wants to accomplish. But most people are ignorant of this, and they have bought into the lie of this world that there's nothing special about them. Every one of you are special. Every one of you are unique. Every one of you can do something that nobody else can do. God has a purpose for your life, and most people are limiting what God can do because they just aren't challenging themselves. And so anyway, the Lord spoke this to me 10 years ago, and I want to put it into its context. It's not like I wasn't trusting God and seeking God. I was doing more than I had ever done, but still, I was comparing myself among other ministers and other ministries and compared to where we came from and stuff we had done well. But the Lord rang my bell and spoke to me that I was limiting Him by my small thinking. And when I made that decision to change, my life has just revolutionized. Our ministry has transformed. I bet you right now, if I was to ask how many of you have been exposed to our ministry since 2002 is when you became aware of our ministry, raise your hand. Did you know if it hadn't have been for the Lord speaking to me and me responding, I wouldn't have been able to touch you. You wouldn't be at this meeting because we were moving along. At that time, we had, I'm not sure the exact amount, we had started on the INSP network, which covered 3% of the American population. And I had added a number of independent stations, but we were less than 10%. Somewhere between 5 and 10% of the U.S. was covered by our television program in 2001. And after I made this decision and started believing God, we now cover 100% of the U.S. market. And we have 3.2 billion people around the world that can get our program. And we are ministering into these people's lives because of things that God spoke to me about how I was limiting Him. I tell you, that is amazing. That is phenomenal what God has done. And I have seen this work in my life. And so last night I was trying to get across that this isn't just for me. This is for every one of us. God has more for every one of you than what you are experiencing. And I can say that without reservation. I know some of you sitting in this auditorium, and I know that you have believed God and good things have happened. But there isn't a person in here that has totally exhausted the ability and the power of God in your life. I believe every one of us is coming short of what God wants us to be. The Lord spoke to me 10 years ago about how I was limiting Him. And since then, He's spoken to me other times about I need to start believing bigger again. And you know what? I know that if I continue another 20 years or whatever, the Lord leaves me here, He's going to speak to me again about you got to start believing God and start dreaming bigger. You never outgrow God. You never exhaust everything. Every one of us limits God in some way or another. And so last night I began to talk about Hosea 4:6. It says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And I honestly didn't know I was limiting God. I thought I was doing good. But when God spoke to me, I began to recognize that I was limiting what God could do through me. And I started changing. And one of the ways that I limited God is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. I used this last night. That they comparing themselves among themselves and measuring themselves by themselves are not wise. And one of the reasons that people limit God is because we look around and we see other people that are struggling. And so we say, well, it's just normal, natural. And so we embrace this. There's people that put up with depression thinking, well, it's just normal. You just have to be depressed. You know, it has now been about, I don't even know, 40-something years since I've been depressed. I don't get depressed. I don't believe in being depressed. Some of you are looking at me, you can't do that. That's the reason you're depressed, is because you have bought into a lie of the devil. The Scripture says in Psalms chapter 16, I believe it's verse 11, that in the presence of the Lord there is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, He will never leave us nor forsake us. So we are always in His presence. He's always with us. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You always have God with you. You always have the fruit of His Spirit. You can encourage yourself in the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 4 and 5. David did that when his men were speaking of stoning him to death, and he encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. You can rejoice always, is what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I think one of the reasons he said, again, I say rejoice, is because he knew people were going to think, this is impossible. He must not have meant what he said. So he just said, again, I'm saying rejoice. I meant exactly what I said. It is a lie that you have to go through periods of mountaintops and valleys and highs and lows. And religion has embraced this and has actually taught that, oh, it's in the valley where the flowers grow and where the grass grows, and this is where you get restored. So these valley experiences are actually good. And they have imputed unto God that God's the one that leads you through these times of depression and hurt and pain and stuff so that you can be a better person. That is not so. Tribulation doesn't make you better. If it did, the people that have been tribulated the most would be the most godly. And that is not true. Now, you can learn through the bad experience. I'm not saying you can't learn something from it, but God doesn't put you there. You do not have to live that way. We are supposed to always triumph in our Lord Jesus Christ, be more than conquerors, above only and not beneath, the head and not the tail. But see, most people compare themselves with even the ungodly. And we look and you hear things about, well, you know, depression and it's just normal and sadness and things like that. I actually saw a bumper sticker that said, if you aren't depressed, you aren't paying attention. And you know what? That's a true statement for a non-believer. But if you're a believer, You know, I was thinking Charlie and Jill were singing this Psalms 91. What was the name of that again? Hiding place or refuge. God is my refuge and strength. And part of that song is a quotation from Psalms 23 where it says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And this last year, 2011, I was studying that verse, and it just dawned on me. He said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. And then I got to thinking about the life of David. David had a lot of problems. David had his son Absalom rise up and start a civil war, and tens of thousands of the people in the nation died because of that civil war, and his own son was put to death by his general. And then about the last week or month of his life, another son rose up and tried to take over the kingdom. And his son Solomon, they came to him. And anyway, God turned it around. But I thought, man, this guy had terrible things happen. His wives were, his son Absalom pitched a tent in the middle of Jerusalem and committed adultery with all of his father's wives just to hurt his father and to spite him and to show the people that there was zero chance of David and Absalom being reconciled. Did you know most people would look at that and think, well, goodness and mercy didn't follow him all the days of his life. But they did. And what the Lord spoke to me, he said, I didn't say goodness and mercy is the only thing following you. You will have problems, but goodness and mercy are always there. And it just depends on which you're going to focus on. Are you going to focus on the Absalom that tried to kill you and the terrible things? Or are you going to look at the fact that God overcame it and God kept the kingdom in the hands of David and preserved it and the people came back to him and he didn't lose his kingdom? Are you going to focus on the problems or are you going to focus on the answers? It didn't say goodness and mercy is the only thing that follows you, but goodness and mercy is always there. If you could look at it correctly, it doesn't matter what's happening to you. There is goodness of God right there in that situation to deliver you and protect you. Praise God, things are as good as they are. You know, this is why when we send our students to these foreign countries, third world countries, they come back and many of them, their life is just transformed. You know why? Because all of a sudden they thought they had it tough. And then they realize, man, goodness and mercy has been with us, and they weren't aware of it. And they put things into perspective and they get a new outlook on life and realize that our very worst, we are blessed, blessed, blessed beyond any group of people that have ever walked on this earth. We are blessed. Goodness and mercy is always there. So you do not have to just go through bouts of depression and discouragement and be up and down like a yo-yo. The Bible says that Jesus would make the mountains and hills come down and exalt the valleys. If you bring the mountains down and bring the valleys up, that means there ought to be smooth sailing. It shouldn't be like this. That's not the way your life is supposed to go. But I'm saying all of this because we compare ourselves with the world, with people that don't even know God. And if you don't know God, you should be depressed. Life is depressing. Life is terminal. Every one of us is headed towards a grave unless Jesus comes back. And if you only thought about the physical, natural things, there's reasons to be depressed. But if you think about it from God's perspective, man, if you die, you go to be with the Lord. You're going to be in a position where the former things will never even come to mind. You are going to be so blessed. And you can always look on the positive side. So we need to quit comparing ourselves among ourselves and measuring ourselves by the world. And we need to go to the Word of God and find out what God's Word says. And if you would do that, you would find that God has taken ordinary people, what the world calls ordinary people, and time after time after time after time after time has just transformed their life and then used them to touch other people and to change things. There's not a person in here that if you were to adopt this attitude that I'm trying to present, that in 10 years from now, if the Lord tarries that long, your life could be absolutely revolutionized. Your finances could be transformed. Your health could be transformed. Your relationships could be transformed. You could be impacting people for good. You could be in a situation that when people see you coming, their heart would just rejoice because of all of the great things. And I'm not saying this to hurt, but I'm saying it to help. But there are some of you that when people see you coming, they want to go the other way because, oh no, they're going to have something else to gripe about. You don't ask them how you are because they'll just tell you what the doctor has said and what this, and they have nothing but just gripes and complaints. There are some of you that that's the way that it is, and it's because you are limiting God. God did not make your life the way that it is. Your life is the way it is because of the thoughts and the things that you've done that limit God. God's will is not coming to pass in your life automatically. He is not the one that has messed your life up. God is a good God. His plans for you are only good. His thoughts are thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. But you have to seek Him. Those verses right after Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." It doesn't say these things happen automatically. You have to seek, and you have to seek with all of your heart. I've had people before say, "Well, I've sought the Lord and it didn't work." It always works. If you seek, you find. If you knock, it's open. If you ask, you receive, what Matthew chapter 7 verse 7 says. And then verse 8 says, everyone that asks receives. Everyone that seeks finds. But this verse in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13 says you have to seek with all of your heart. And there's a lot of people that seek for a minute or two until their favorite TV show comes on. And if God can absolutely transform your life before your next thing that you want to do comes up, you'll give Him 5 minutes. That's not seeking with all of your heart. But when you put God first, I guarantee you, He will transform your life. So that's what we talked about already. I could preach on all of this again. Look in Mark chapter 4. I want to talk about another thing that causes us to limit God. We've talked about basically just ignorance because we're comparing ourselves with other people and we just don't realize the goodness of God and that God wants to do great things. But in Mark chapter 4 is the parable of the sower sowing the seed. And I won't teach on this whole parable. This is one of the most important parables in the Bible. It transformed my life. But I just want to focus on one thing. The third type of ground that they threw seed on, there was four types of ground. Only one out of four brought forth fruit. And even among that, there were some that were 30, some 60, and some 100. The seed had the potential of producing 100-fold in every case. It wasn't the seed that was the variable. It was the ground that the seed was sown in. And that's symbolic of our heart. And it says right here in Mark chapter 4, verse 19, "And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." And this is another way that we limit God, is just by distraction, by being occupied with the things of this world. It takes time, like those other verses. You have to seek the Lord with all of your heart. And, you know, most people in America have let the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, it chokes the word. It keeps us from really understanding what God's plans for your life are. One of the things that I've learned is Psalms chapter 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." You know, you cannot really understand the greatness of God without just being still, shutting off some things, being quiet before God, and letting God speak. We were in Washington, D.C. the week that President Reagan died, and they had his procession there, and Jamie and I were at that, and we went and saw his body in state and things like that. But anyway, as I was walking through Washington, D.C. down the mall, you know, it's a gravel path, and I was walking down this path, and I just noticed, it seemed unusual to me, that here I was walking on gravel, and I couldn't hear a single sound from those steps. And I remember noticing that. I think I mentioned it to Jamie about, that's amazing that, you know, nobody was around us. It's not like we were having people talk or something, but I couldn't hear any effects of me walking up on that gravel. And then, just the next day, we went to the Shenandoah National Park, and I walked on the Appalachian Trail and I was walking on gravel there, and it was just so loud. It was like it was echoing through the forest, how loud it was. And I was thinking, what is the difference? And the Lord just spoke to me, and He says, it's all that ambient noise that's in Washington, D.C., the planes, the traffic, and there was just so much background noise that you couldn't even hear something like somebody just walking on gravel. But you get into a place where it's out there and it's quiet and it's still, and every step I took was just loud. And did you know that there are many of us that the Bible talks about in 1 Kings chapter 19 that the Lord spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice. And God, He can yell at you. He can do things in a spectacular way to get your attention. But the real nature of God, Jesus said, I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. The Lord is actually not prone to just do something to rattle your cage and do this. When Jesus came to the earth, He could have come on a 747 and landed in Jerusalem. That would have attracted people's attention. But instead, He came and He announced it to shepherds. And you know, it's because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. God desires for you to respond by faith. He very seldom, He can, and it has happened, and it still does happen. But the way that 99% of us are going to relate to the Lord is not through some dramatic thing where a blinding flash of light comes. He's going to reveal Himself to you in some subtle, simple way that if you aren't careful, you'll let the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, and it'll just overwhelm. You won't be able to hear that still, small voice of God. You got to get still. You got to get quiet. And the American lifestyle is not conducive for a relationship with God. There was a man named Sadhu Sundar Singh. Sadhu is an Indian name for a holy man. So his name is Sundar Singh. And he came to the United States in 1910 because in India he had meetings where he would see 10 and 12 people a day raised from the dead. He would go into a morgue and empty it. This guy was powerful. And anyway, his fame began to spread. So he had meetings lined up in New York City. This was in 1910. He couldn't fly over here. He had to take a boat. Took a month or more to come over here. And he had like a half a year's worth of meetings set up in the United States. And he got off of the boat in New York City, walked around New York City for 30 minutes, and got back on the boat. And he said, these people will never listen to God. Their lifestyle won't allow them to. That was in 1910. What do you think he would do with our culture today? I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, the way that we just cram our life full of stuff and we never have any downtime and you never... I mean, if you have any downtime, you sit in front of the TV and turn it on. You'd never have a time where your mind is just free to be led by God and go someplace. It limits what God can do in your life.
It was January 31st, 2002. Andrew had been on television for just over 2 years, seeing modest growth in the ministry and in the student body at Caris Bible College. It was then he received a revelation that changed everything. He saw that he'd been limiting God by small thinking, and he determined to change his ways. Immediately, the ministry began to grow. Finances, staff, telephone, and the mail ministry multiplied. Soon, the little 13,000-square-foot building on Robinson Street in Colorado Springs was no longer sufficient to meet the needs. The TV studio had to be dismantled to make room for more students. Porta-johns were set up to handle the demand for facilities. Andrew began to take the limits off God. A 110,000-square-foot warehouse on Elkton Drive was purchased, requiring $3 million to finish. Andrew's ministry partners rallied.
Jamie and I want to thank you for being our partners. I tell you, God has done so many miracles in our life, and the best is yet to come, but we couldn't do any of this without you, our partners. I tell you, we've long since passed the place where we could finance this ministry.
18 months later, the building was completed and paid for through extra donations above the cost of operations. In 2004, the staff and student body entered their new home. Today, a short decade after his revelation about small thinking, the ministry and Charis Bible College are once again bursting at the seams. The parking lots are beyond capacity. Classrooms are once again overflowing. One solution is to limit enrollment. Limit the size of the ministry and outreach. Limit parking spaces. Limit the number of lives that will be changed by the truth of God's Word. Or we can follow Andrew in his determination to take the limits off God. 157 acres of prime property in Woodland Park have been purchased at pennies on the dollar. Architectural plans have been funded and completed for the new campus, accommodating up to 3,000 students, and a construction phase is ready to begin. Think of the graduating classes of the future, 1,000 members strong, and more who'll go out year after year to multiply the message of God's unconditional love and grace around the world. Join the foundation builders who have already given and invest yourself in Charis Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries today. Our telephone number is 719-635-1111. Our web address is www.awmi.net, and our mailing address is on your screen.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, Don't Limit God Times 10, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Every album will also include the Don't Limit God sticker. This reversible static decal will cling to your window or mirror, reminding you not to limit God with small thinking. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The second audio teaching in today's series is titled, Cares of the World Limit God. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.